All right. Now, you are familiar with Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. And then it goes on and says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We're going to say a few things here. And I'm going to change gears just a minute. Mark has been doing an excellent job, but he's ruined y'all. You forgot how to say amen. All right. So be not conformed to this world. No, okay. We're going to start over. Be not conformed to this world. Amen. But be transformed. Come on, help me. Amen. We're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. So we're going to renew our mind to being a son rather than a servant. And another word for servant is slave there, because Jesus loves me. I want everybody to say that. Jesus loves me. And God sent Jesus to the earth to die for me so that I wouldn't have to die. I wouldn't have to suffer. I could have a relationship with him. Everybody needs to say amen. Okay. Turn with me to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There's a story here, and I'm just going to be kind of teaching through it about the prodigal son. And actually, it's a story of two prodigal sons. And there might be a few things that I say today that some of you don't like, but that don't mean you're right. We got to renew our mind, because this part of the gospel has been taught wrongly most of our lives. I've been studying this for several months now. And we need to look at the father's attitude toward me. I want everybody to say that. The father's attitude. Now, I want to say it again. The father's attitude. Beginning in verse 11, a certain man had two sons. Notice it says sons. Everybody say sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he, the father, divided unto them his living. Underline the word them. The father divided unto them. They both got their full inheritance at that time. Okay? Now, it's real important that you remember that as we study this. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Right there in the margin. Loose, carefree, no restraint, living. So he left and went out and just lived a loose lifestyle. And when he had spent all, look up here at me. Have you ever noticed that these people that win the lottery, you know, 5 years later, they're broke again? Well, I believe y'all going to win the lottery and 5 years later, triple it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it. But sometimes people don't appreciate what they do have. And I believe you and I do appreciate what we do have. And I am blessed. I'm not sure about y'all, but I am blessed. So not many days after, the younger son gathered together, took a journey into a far country, wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, somebody say all. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Now I got to add this. In the Old Testament, when the curse came on the children of the Egyptians, it came to the line of the land of Goshen. There's frogs over here. There's a locust over here. It's dark over here. But it came to a line, and over here, not one grasshopper jumped that line. Come on, y'all. Not one bit of that curse was able to get on them. Now, we live in the greatest nation in the whole world. But there is a curse on a lot of our nation, but I'm not living by what's going on in the nation. I am in the kingdom of God. So the economic crisis that's on everybody else is not coming across that line right there. Are y'all out there? Listen to me now. The sickness that's on this world, they come up every month or two with some kind of a new sickness that there's no cure for. Well, it cannot cross that line because I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Yesterday we were at a horse show, and right at the end of the horse show, an older guy, I said, older, that's not me and you. Hello. But he was somewhat younger than me. He was walking across there after he did his horse ride, and he fell out and had a heart attack right there. And by all apparent things, he was dead. But I got good news for you. We prayed for him, and he's alive today. They took him off to the hospital, and as they were going, I said, thank God faith works for him because we all prayed, but thank God that's not going to come nigh me. Watch this. There's a line right there, and heart attacks do not come nigh us. Gallbladder attacks do not have a right to come nigh us. Kidney stones don't have a right to come nigh us because you and I are the redeemed. And if y'all have never heard this, I probably told you. Growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. I'm never growing up. I'm going to party all the days of my life. Amen. I still get up every morning looking for something fun to do. Somebody say fun. Okay. Now, so he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. That's a pretty bad job. It's the worst job even for people that weren't Hebrew, wasn't a Jew, but to feed the pigs is bad. Now, if you don't know nothing about slopping hogs, you don't know much. This is free. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I went up to my grandmother's house. Some of y'all are old enough to remember this. And they all had a slop jar, you know, that they put all the peelings in and all the scraps in. And that's what they used to feed the hogs. You know, just collected all day. It always smelled bad. It always looked bad because it's just the scraps of everything and the stuff that you couldn't eat, and it was just there. And then once a day, somebody would go out and slop the hogs. That was just somebody's job. Well, I was a young kid, and they said, Frankie, now don't you ever call me Frankie. You got that? Okay. They said, Frankie, go out and slop the hogs. Well, I knew what that meant. Go get the slop bucket and go out and pour it in the trough. And so I went out there with a little bucket, and, you know, I'm just a child, and opened the gate, went inside, and I start to pour the slop in the slop trough. And when I did, about 32 pigs attacked me because they wanted that slop. And they knocked me down, so I'm in the mud. I got slop from head to toe. So if you ain't ever slopped hogs, you don't know what fun ain't. I went in the house. They all laughed because they knew what had happened. Nobody told me you slop them on the run. Because if you don't slop them on the run, they're going to get you and the bucket. I had to take a bath and clean up. I never will forget that. Well, that's the kind of job this guy had. He was very blessed, but he had spent it all. And now he's out there slopping the hogs. And the Bible says, let me read this to you. It says, he would have fain filled his belly with the slop. Now, that's not in your Bible. But with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man, say this, no man.
No man.
Say it again.
No man.
No man gave him anything. Now, we're going to change our attitude today from being a servant to a son. You are not a servant, but you are a son of God. Y'all going to have to practice that. Say, I'm not a servant. I'm a son of God. Now, you might want to say, I'm a daughter of God. The point is, we're royalty. We're God's children. We're not slaves. Servant and slave means the same thing. And the church has preached for years that we need to serve the Lord, that we need to serve the Lord with gladness. And a lot of other scriptures offer the sacrifice of praise. And there's some truth to all that, but you got to renew your mind that God loves you so much that He wants to bless you, and therefore you want to serve Him joyfully out of a relationship that you have, not because you have to serve Him. You are a son. Somebody say, I am a son. Now, anytime I say that, you ladies can say you are a daughter, but you are royalty. You are heirs of God. He's not a God sitting in heaven with a 2x4 wanting to beat you over the head every time you mess up, because He's done all of that He needs to do on Jeff and you know that guy that started coming back that's been gone. He's been beat up by long. Stand up, David. We're so glad you're here again today. David and Jeff back there will need to take all the beatings for us. We are servants, and not servants, but sons. We're blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Okay, now watch this. The boy came to himself. This is where, you know, the church has preached this, especially the Baptist kind of people have preached this all their life. He came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, I want you to really look at some of this. He came to himself. He woke up and said some things. Everybody say, said. That's really important. We're going to pick up on that in just a moment. He said, notice what he said. How many hired servants, slaves, servants of my father, say father, of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare? In other words, a hired servant's got enough and some to spare, yet I'm out here about to perish with hunger. Then he makes some good choices. I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of the hired servants. Are you listening? Never should you want to be a hired servant. You want to be a son. Now, like I said, I'll say some things some people may not exactly like, but this part of the teaching is to help you. I'm so glad that back, you know, in the 60s and 70s, that lady got on that bus and said, I'm not sitting in the back. I'm so thankful that so many people was willing, some of them gave their lives to say, we're no longer going to sit back there in the back of the bus. We are not second-rate citizens. We might have been slaves, but we ain't slaves no more. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that people got a hold of, they have the same rights in this country that anybody else has in this country. Because this is one nation under God. We need to do that in the body of Christ and stop acting like we go in the back of the bus. Hello? Because we are redeemed from the yoke that is on this world. Now watch this. He got smart. See, he went from stupidity to wisdom. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Most of that is good, but there's one of it that's bad. Notice when he made a decision, his mouth took him somewhere. He said, I will arise. And because he said that, he did arise. Then he said, I will go to my father. And because he said that, he did go to his father. But he also said, I will repent and I will change, do things different. And he did that. But he said one thing that was wrong. He said, I will ask to be a servant and not a son. And because he was snared by his words that other three times, he was snared by his words that other time, and he had a servant mentality rather than a son mentality. Now, I'm going to help y'all. I got a son mentality. Now, I'm ahead. I'm on page 3. My wife and I are blessed. I mean, I'm the happiest married man that's ever been. My wife's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And we're very happily married. We bought a place up on the lake. Most of y'all have been there. Some of you haven't. And I got a lot of toys. I mean, I got Sea-Doos, those little water bikes. I got a bass boat. I got, an old pontoon boat. I got a fishing boat. I got riding toys and other things. I didn't buy those things for me and Pat to ride. We do occasionally. I bought those for my children and my grandchildren. All that stuff is there provided by me so that they can come party at my house and take benefits of the things that I have. I had 3 of my grandchildren there most of the week, and they just about wore me out. I'm going to take 3 of them over to Six Flags Over Georgia on Tuesday. And I remember Olivia's back there. I still remember when she was 6 or 7 years old, and we'd taken them over there, and she come running up and she said, Pops, do we have more tickets? And I said, huh? She said, do we have more tickets? Because she had ridden several things. She said, we need to go buy more tickets. And I said, why? She said, we're running out of tickets. I said, Olivia, we don't have to buy more tickets. When you paid the fee to get in here, everything was included, and you can ride whatever you want to ride as many times as you want to ride it. And she said, don't we need more tickets? Well, we need to come to the attitude if we've been paid for and we're in the kingdom. And we don't have to have more tickets. God has already provided it for us. And we can ride whatever we want to ride as many times as we want to ride it. I'm going to take the three little ones again this Tuesday. Well, Mark called and said, hey, what are y'all doing Thursday? I said, well, I don't have a lot of plans. He said, I'm going to bring all my crew up to y'all's house. They're going to come. And I talked to Justin this morning. I said, Justin, I hear y'all are coming to my house. He said, we're coming to your house. I said, y'all going to play with my toys? He said, we're going to play with your toys. I said, what if I don't come out to play? He said, we're going to play with your toys anyway. They know that they're there because I want them to have a good time. Come on, y'all. God wants you to have a good time. Healing belongs to you, and He paid for it because He wants you to live a long life until you are fully satisfied and enjoy it. Somebody say amen. Say abundance. He wants you to have an abundance so that you can do what you want to and enjoy it. And we got to get out of this attitude of I'll go back and be a servant, but be a son. Now watch this. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, verse 20, underline some of this. His father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father didn't let him say that next phrase. Now watch this. We need to see the father's attitude rather than the servant's attitude. The father's attitude, I wrote this on my notes, so I'm going to read it to you. The father's attitude was one of love, one of affection, one of giving, one of restoration, one of wanting to have a party, wanting to enjoy his children. And watch this. The Bible says when the boy was still a great way off, the father saw him. That means the father was out there looking for a... No, looking for a what?
Son.
Wait a minute, some of y'all missed that. Looking for a what?
Son.
He wasn't looking for another hired servant. He was looking for a son. Somebody that he could shed his affection on. Come on now. And it says he ran. The father ran toward the son. The son didn't run toward the father. The father ran toward the son and grabbed him and kissed him. He was looking for a son. Well, today God's looking for a son. God, the Father, is looking for a son that he can shed his affection on, his love on, his giving, his restoration. Somebody say restoration. See, he wants to restore you back to the place that God intended for his son in the Garden of Eden, which is to rule over everything. Now, I want you to also see this because I don't want to miss anything here. His idea toward the son was right, but the son's idea toward the father was wrong. Hello. It says when he was down there feeding them pigs, nobody gave him anything. Like I told you, I'm going to say a few things some of you won't like, okay? You got a servant mentality, nobody's going to give you something. But if you got a sonship mentality, people are going to come up to you and give you things.
That's right.
So now you can either act like a son, get the attitude of a son, and people will give you stuff. Or you can keep that old attitude that's in the church today of I'm just a servant of the Lord, and God will have y'all servants give us sons those good things. You'll either become a son and receive, or you'll stay a servant, and you can give to Kenneth and me and all them other guys, because we're walking in this thing of sonship. Hello, the choice is yours. What you got to do is renew your mind. Oh, but we need to serve the Lord for all that he's done for me. Listen, we need to serve the Lord because he's my father and because he loves me. And he did this out of his love, not because I feel some kind of a bad attitude toward God and I got to make it do. Now watch this, and I'm not trying to just brag on him, even though I do. You see, that boy on the front row, that's my son. And he doesn't do a good job up here preaching because he feels obligated to me because I'm liable to still take him back and beat him. Mark's doing a great job. By the way, a lot of this teaching has to do with the stuff that he's been bringing us, which has been excellent. I mean, if you don't get excited about some of the things that Pastor Mark's been preaching to you, your wood's so wet you can't ever light it, praise God. Good stuff. But he don't do that because he's serving his daddy. He does that because God's called him to that position. And listen to me. As a father, I am exceptionally proud. And somebody can say something about, man, I heard your son the other day. And I said, yeah, that's my son. That's my son. And somebody can say, well, you know this or that. And, you know, he's very successful in his business. I said, oh, yeah, that's my son. Well, you know, there was a time back there when he was a kid. I'd say, yeah, that's my boy. God wants to call us sons. And he wants to do enough for us that we're receiving from him rather than having to serve him because he's going to beat us up if we don't. That's not it at all. He's looking for somebody. Say, I'm a somebody. Come on, raise your hand and say, I'm a somebody. He's looking for somebody to shed his love, his blessings, and his restoration on. And I am the one. Now, the son was on his way back and the father saw him. Watch this. Ran toward him, verse 20. He had compassion or love for him, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no worthy to be called thy son. But the father stopped him right there, didn't let him use that other word. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to the servants, go get the fatted calf. We're going to have us a party. Now, let me give you a scripture here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. If at any time, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts. Now watch. And should be converted. Converted. Turned around. I should heal them. If at any time. I use my family a lot as my teaching, but being that I'm talking about the father and his family, I remember when Zoe was 6, 7 years old, she wanted to do something. And, oh, man, not today. I said, sometime. And she, next day, Dad, Pops, can we go do whatever it was she wanted to do? I don't remember what it was now. I said, no, I got a lot to do today, but sometime. And this went on for 2 or 3 days. And one morning, she got up and came into the bedroom and shook me. And she used to love to jump up in the bed and holler and wake me up. It's wakey, wakey time. And so I'm okay, I'm waiting. She said, Pops, I got a question for you. I said, what's that? She says, is today a sometime? She's smarter than I was. Well, this is a sometime. That if we're converted, sometime. Somebody say sometime. Sometime. Today's my time. So I'm going to start walking in my sonship rather than in my servantship. He said, I will decide it. The father's attitude was he was looking for him, expecting to receive a son. He did not need any more servants. I preach that to myself. God's looking today for a son or daughter. He don't need no more servants. He wants a son or daughter that he can shed his love on. Do we have any candidates in here today? Come on, I said, do we have any candidates in here today? He doesn't need any more sons. Servants. He had plenty of servants. He had compassion. He ran toward him and kissed him. The Father is quicker to restore than you and I are to receive. Oh, listen. Well, let me read it. So he said to the servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. In other words, make him wear it. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Now watch this. Please smile at me. I need some smiles. He put the best robe, the finest clothes. Give me a little grace here. God will clothe you, ladies, with the finest if you'll let Him. He's looking for a daughter. And there's clothes that has been made that are the finest, and they were not made for the heathen to wear. They were made for you ladies and you guys, because He wants you to have the best. Now, I don't cut my grass in my suit. I wear a pair of pea-mooter shorts and an old raggedy T-shirt, okay? But I don't come to church in that. Aren't you glad? If you were invited to go visit the President of the United States or the Queen of England or some other royalty like that, you wouldn't go in your grass-cutting shorts, especially your grass-cutting shoes. You would at least take a shower and comb your hair and put on something decent. I don't expect an amen on this one. When you come before God, you ought to dress up a little bit. Now, I remember my daddy. Dad was 92 when he passed about 8 years ago. All the years that I knew my father, whatever he was doing. Now, he worked out in the garage or he'd work up in the garden. He had a bunch of old work clothes. But anytime he was going to run down to the grocery store, that was before the days of Walmart. Anytime he's going to go to the store, he'd come in, clean up, and put on a white shirt and a tie. He never went anywhere without that tie. Y'all remember those days? Pat's father, who was a little bit older, he never walked out of the house without putting on that hat. In those days, you wasn't dressed unless you were dressed to the hilt. Well, we are a child of God. Now, you better listen to this. The king of Saudi Arabia has children that are teenagers, and they don't wear jeans with holes in them. You know why? Because they represent their father. Okay, I need to preach this over here. I got one weak amen on that, all right? We need to represent God the Father and wear the best. And when you go to buy clothes, you don't buy them at the secondhand store. King's kids buy the best and wear the best. I need some help here, amen. And notice they put shoes on him. He didn't go around barefooted. Hello. God wants me to have the best. Now watch this. He put a robe on him. Then he put a ring on his finger. Now that ring that's on my finger says something. That ring right there says, I am in covenant with that pretty young thing right back there. That's my woman. I got a woman. Don't mess with me. I'm in covenant with that woman. Well, the ring that daddy put on that boy put him back in a position of authority. That ring was something that they wore to put a stamp in a wax seal. That meant that boy could go in and make decisions that was right, and he restored unto him his kingly authority. When you come to God, you've been given the authority of God on this world, and God puts a ring of authority on you, and the slaves and the servants never have one. They do what they're told. This is God has blessed us so that we are in charge. Somebody say, I'm in charge. The Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Make him wear it. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And then bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and dress it and let us eat and be merry. Or I put it down here. We should believe God for the best. Then we ought to have the best. And then we ought to wear the best. I'm going back to my good old dad. My wife and I bought him a watch right after we was first married. Very expensive in those days. I think we paid $49.95 for it. Big bucks. Gave it to him, Dad. Oh, that's nice. I like that. I appreciate that. Closed the box, went into the bedroom, put it in the dresser drawer. I said, Dad, what you going to do with that watch? Oh, I'm gonna get it out and look at it. He said, that's too nice for me. He He said, I can't wear something that nice. I have that watch. He never wore it. And I got it. But guess what? I wear it. Are y'all with me on that? I wouldn't wear that. That's too nice for me. They ain't nothing too nice for you. You are a child of the Most High God. And you don't have to go looking around in Walmart and all them other cheap stores. You have a right to go into those big places that's got the finest. And when you walk in there and you buy it, and you can put it on and wear it because you're representing your Father. Y'all are still missing some of that. When you get out of your car, it ought to be the best car. And if you can't afford the best car, it ought to at least be a cleaned up car. Hello. And you ought to drive it as if you are important. You ought to drive it because it's the best and somebody gave it to you, called his Father God. Now, you know, Harold is in the car dealership, and he helped me find that old Rolls Royce that I've got. I love to drive that thing. And when I drive it, I don't wear my grass cutting clothes. I drove it up to Walmart one day, and I pulled in there, and this redneck kind of guy come walking out and had a kid with him. He said, hey, look at that. Look. The little boy said, what? He said, look at that. He said, you might not ever see one of them the rest of your life. And I stepped out of it, and he said, sir, you must be rich. I said, yes, sir, I am. I didn't have enough money to go into Walmart. I think I need a, you know, package of bologna or something. I was broke and I counted pennies to get there. And he said, sir, you must be rich. I said, yeah. He says, can I look in there? I said, you can sit in. Oh. And I acted like I had it. Come on, y'all help me here. Because I'm representing my Father. Amen. God gave it to me. It's mine. I wear it real good. Wait till you see that next one I'm believing for. I'm going to park on that side that Sunday. Best robe, finest, ring, authority, clothing. We should believe God for the best, have the best, wear the best, because we represent our Father. Then the Father wanted to have a party. Hello. It's all right to party. With the things that God's given you, it's all right to be blessed with it. The Father didn't condemn him. Now, you need to hear this. The Father didn't condemn him for wasting all of his substance. The Father didn't ever ask him, what'd you do with it? And the Father didn't make him pay penance or prove himself for a year. He didn't ask him all of that questions like you didn't need it to begin with it. And you blew it on them women and that loose living. He just restored him back to kingdom living. God doesn't care how bad you messed up last time. He just wants to restore you to where you belong. Somebody said, well, brother, that kind of preaching gives people a license to sin. You don't need no license to sin, Dave. You know how. This gives you a way to get back to the Father and get restored to that relationship. Now watch this. The number two stone starts in verse 25. Now the elder son was in the field. Look at me. Who was he with in the field? The servants. He was in the field with the servants. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he got close to being in, but he never got in. Hello. When he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now watch this. He was in the field with the rest of the servants. He got near the house, but he never got in it. He stood outside and looked in. Now, look, I'm going to help me here. Don't be a dry boat sitter. Be a wet water walker. You remember Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come on the water. And somebody said, yeah, but he began to sink. Yes, but he did get out there and walk for a while. And them dry boat sitters never did know anything about the miraculous power of God. So don't stand out here saying, whoo, I'd sure like to be blessed like over there. Come on into the party. Watch now. He got near, but yet he didn't go in. Now watch this. I want you to see this. He said, he chose not to go in because he got angry. He got angry when he saw somebody else more blessed than he was. The Bible says to rejoice with them that rejoice and to mourn with them that mourn. Somebody, and I do this, I work on this, okay? I'm a blessed man. But somebody comes in driving a new car, man, I go out there and make over that. I say, man, that is nice. Because however he got it, I can also get one. Somebody that I know just recently, somebody gave them a jet. I said, that ain't right. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, you ain't right either. You're supposed to rejoice with him that rejoiced. It was given to him several million dollars worth of jet. And he didn't even know how to fly it. Now, he did have a small plane and he knew how to fly it. But he had to go take lessons to be a jet pilot. I've already won, Chris. I know how to fly it. Lord, you missed it. You gave it to somebody that didn't even know how to fly it and can use it. And here I am, want one. God said, you need to rejoice. I don't want to rejoice. I really want to complain about the fact that somebody else got more blessed than I did. See, that's a servant mentality. Because, you know, I needed that and I'm a great guy. I'm going to show you this. Rejoice with them that rejoices, and when they get something that you don't think that they deserve, you ought to rejoice anyway, because that just proves that God loves them, and that he's going to bless them, and he's also going to bless you. You don't have to get concerned or upset when you see somebody else get blessed, because you knew that Father, you know that Father has a blessing in store for you. God's got you on his mind. And when somebody else gets blessed, you ought to go, whoo, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You blessed them and they didn't deserve it. I mean, see, what you're doing is putting yourself up bigger than they are. They didn't deserve it, but I do. No, you rejoice with them that rejoice, and God sees that, and you're going to get that blessing and in them some, because God's got you on his mind. Well, yeah, but you know, I'm too old. You're never too old. Remember Colonel Sanders, David, this one's just for you. Colonel Sanders started his business when he was 80 and sold it for like $50 million when he was like 89. That ain't a bad deal for an old retired fella. So never think that you're too old to get blessed. He did not go in. He would not. He chose not to go in. And then watch this. The Father came out. The Father went to get him. The Father's here today looking for a son. And this is a sometime. Hello, y'all. Okay, now watch this. So the elder son was in the field, wouldn't go into the house, asked what it was, and he was angry. Verse 28, chose not to go in. Therefore, came his father out and entreated him, or begged him to come in. The Father's entreating you to move in today into his house. And he answered and said to the Father, lo, these many... I need that Hammond organ that we had when Sister Cook... Great. Lo. I get on down and preach like Creflo Dollar and Bill Winston. Lo, I have served you. Let me do that again. I have served you these many years. And I never had a party. Well, if you ain't had no party, it's your fault. Ha! Are y'all out there? Servant mentality causes you to serve God, causes you to never enjoy the blessings of God. And he said, neither have I transgressed your law. That's self-righteousness. Servants have a self-righteousness mentality. I'm going to tell you a story. It's not in my sermon, but I'm going to tell you it anyway. How many of y'all believe I'm going to tell you? Pat and I the other day was up at Walmart. In fact, a lot of y'all know that. That's the one-stop shop. Come walking out of Walmart. Pat's right there with me, so I'm not having bad thoughts. I'm just, you know, I'm with Pat. And this old Pentecostal woman that hadn't had any makeup on since she was 10 years old, and now she's 50, and she sure needed a paint job. And she had that bun up, you know, that hornet's nest kind of deal in the back, and she had a skirt plumb way down to her ankles, and she had that Pentecostal look on her face. And she's mad at everybody. She's weaned on a pickle, son. Bad. And I thought to myself, I've been studying this. I thought, whoo, there's a servant of the Lord right there. And I thought, man, she's so ugly. Ain't nobody in their right mind even want to talk to her. And then, now you behave, lady. Right behind her was a young, sweet thing, you know, probably 25 or 30. She's just a little bit plump now, but she had on, you know, a pretty good-looking outfit, and she had a little dance jiggle to her, and when she jiggled, there's certain parts of her jiggled more than they ought to, and you know, she was all painted up, and she looked good, and I kind of go, whoa, and I had this thought. You know, if I'd go chase after a woman, it wouldn't be that ugly one. It'd be that other one over there. You with me? I thought, you know, she looks better than a religious person. She would be more fun than a religious person. She'd be better to go out with than a servant. Yes. And we ought to represent God as to something that somebody would want to be like.
Amen.
Not scare them out of their mind.
That's right.
That means we dress a little better. We put on our robe, if you will. We put on our ring. We don't wear the ugliest shoes we can find. And we represent our Father well. Well, this boy had an attitude, I've never sinned. Well, religious people get that. I've served the Lord for 25 years. Well, whoopee-doo and no squat. What good did it do you? You're miserable. Hello? I've never sinned. Well, Brother Hagin made this statement one time. Some of the people in his church got real upset. Why is it that heathens can walk in off the street and receive a healing? And us that's been in here in this church for the last 20 years, we can't get healed? He said, because a heathen will do three things that y'all don't know how to do. He said, a heathen will come in and they don't know anything about God. They are, number one, they are quick to repent. Number two, they are quick to forgive. And number three, they are quick to receive. This guy was looking at himself. Let me read this because I wrote it out this way. I've been, like I told you, I've been studying this for a while. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
The father went out and to find him, and he said, son, watch this. I love this. He said, I've served you for all these years. I've never sinned. Self-righteousness goes with servant attitude, and it goes back to blaming somebody else. I've never done to you what your first son did. Get your eyes off of me and start looking at him. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Lord, it's that woman you gave me. Quit blaming that woman God gave you and fess up to the fact that you're not where you ought to belong. Hello? Get your eyes on somebody else. Watch this. Blame somebody else. He didn't want to be seen for what it was. Then he made this statement. He said, look at me. The first son said, I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. I don't deserve your goodness. The second son said, look at me. I'm Mr. Wonderful. I got news for you. My daddy and mama didn't do for me all the things they did for me because I deserved it. They did it for me because I'm a son. Now, I have three sons and I have one daughter, and I don't treat any of them any differently as far as I can. They can all at any time come to my house and eat my grub, play with my toys, and have a good time because they are equal sons and daughters. Are you with me on that? Some of them choose to do it more than the others. The choice is not mine. Truth is, sometimes I think they choose too much. But that's what it's there for. Now, y'all know the story. I have one son I hadn't seen in 20 years. That's his choice, not mine. Those grandchildren never got to enjoy all my toys. Their choice, not mine. Well, there's some people that don't choose to go in because they're not worthy. Well, I choose to go in and say, Father, I'm your son. I may not deserve it, but I sure do need some new shoes. And the Father wants to give me some. Hello? Are y'all getting anything out of this today?
Yes.
Well, I am. Now watch this. The father went out and begged him to come in. And he said, "You're always with me. He had his first inheritance, because remember when the young son came in and says, give me that which belongs to me? And it says the father divided unto them. So he had his first inheritance, and he never spent it. He still had it. And the father said to him, you're ever with me. Or in other words, everything that's in this house is yours. You could have had a party anytime you wanted to have a party, but you chose to be a servant rather than be a party. I mean, have a party. Okay, now watch this. And do you realize that that boy never did go in and have a party? He said, son, everything that is mine is yours, plus your first inheritance. Yet he never went in and he never received, because his servant mentality kept him on the wrong outside. If you have a servant mentality, you will make wrong choices all the time, because your choices toward God and your fellow man will be based on mentality of a servant, and he is a bad God waiting to beat you over the head. Oh, thank God he's not going to mess with me and beat me over the head for every time I mess up, because I wouldn't be here. I heard this preached at a funeral one time. A little kid was, they was having a funeral, and they said, you know, the Lord looked down from heaven and saw that that child was going to go wayward, and so he just took him before he had a chance to go wayward. If that was true, all of us would have died before age 10. Because we all did. The grace of God, the miracle of God, is to welcome you in, not to keep you out. Pat and I went to Walmart the other day. You know, the stuff that they have at Walmart, they didn't lay it there so that you could look at it and not get it. They have it there for you to purchase it. And my Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne room, the kingdom, if you will, because everything that we need is in the kingdom of God. And he wants us to walk in it as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So a servant mentality will keep you making the wrong choices all the time. It'll keep you receiving from your Father all that is yours. We need to obtain it. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now watch this. This is one of my favorite verses. How can we as a minister freely give until we have freely received? That's the reason there's so many guys running around selling books and tapes and taking up squirrely offerings and, you know, the things they do, because they haven't really freely received from Daddy. So they got to con you out of it. Hello? I hate this. I hear people say, you know, I don't live off y'all's giving. I live off my giving. However, we're going to take up this offering. Something's wrong with that. They just told you that they didn't need it, and then they do it anyway. Something's wrong with that. When you freely receive from God, you can sit around and let me tell you about Daddy. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures in closing this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, verse 6. And 7. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you know what that means? Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, whereby we cry, Daddy. I'm going to make her cry, and I'm going to cry. Yesterday, Joy said to me, she says, Dad, Pops, all my grandkids call me Pops, Dad, can I borrow one of your cars tomorrow? For some reason or other, ever since Mark turned 16 years of age, my kids think my cars belong to them. Mark had a car, and he got to dating this thing that was up in Bluntsville, Alabama. And he had a nice car. And he'd say, oh, Dad, Jennifer and I got a date tonight. He said, can I borrow your car? In those days, I was driving a big old Lincoln. I said, sure. He said, you know, want to look? Fine. You know what? It looks fine for me to drive in a Corvette. Hello. Dad, I'd like to borrow your car. Okay, son, that's fine. They'd go out on Friday nights, you know, and he'd come back in sometime Saturday morning. They had a curfew that nobody knew what it was because they didn't pay any attention anyway. Well, I'd have to go down to the store, do something, or come over to the office or something. I'd go jump in my car. Whoop. I wouldn't get around the block until it was on empty and then something. The only reason he wanted to borrow my car was it had gas in it. How many parents know what I'm talking about here? Now, that's all right. He's 16. Joy's 33. Yesterday, she said, can I borrow a car? I said, let's deal with this, Joy. I said, why do you want to borrow a car? She said, I got some things to do, and my car don't got no gas in it. So now you've been married now for several years. You got three kids of your own, but it's still, you're my daddy, and I need to borrow your car. So I gave her a little extra money. I said, now you got enough money to get to church. And she spent part of that. And she was on her way into church this morning. She took her last $15 to put in there. And so she tells Zoe to go put gas in the car. And she notices that it's still, the needle's going up. And Zoe's putting gas in the car. And she said, Zoe, did you stop it on $15? She said, no, Mama, I took my $15 and put it with your $15. And we got $30 worth of gas. And Joy came in crying this morning because her daughter loves her. That's family. Hello. Now, I don't have to loan her my car anymore. Hallelujah. But I will if she needs it because I'm her daddy, and I will be her daddy all the days of mine and her life. And when Mark and Jennifer and Justin and Olivia and Seth comes up there Thursday, I will have already gone down and bought gas and have it in the toys, and they'll run it all out and they'll leave them that way until they come back the next time. But that's all right. I'm daddy. Whereby we've been given the spirit of the sons of God, whereby we cry, daddy, thank you. Daddy, are y'all out there this morning? Can I have the musicians come up here? We're going to change some words on a song. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Pastor Mark's been doing some tremendous teaching on Wednesday nights about being led by the Spirit of God. How to flow in the gifts of God. Letting the Spirit of God minister to you and through you. Well, watch this. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Everybody say, I'm a son. They are the sons of God, not the slaves, not the servants. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. I love adoption stories. Y'all remember we had a couple that was here. They adopted some children from Honduras and Guatemala. Those little children had no place to go. One of them was going to wind up at the city dump. The parents, not married, no job. So they take these little babies and they put them up for adoption. And this couple from America wants to adopt a baby. Now they had a child, but they just felt like God wanted to adopt a baby. So they go down there and they pay all the money. They do all the paperwork. They bring those little babies back. And those babies now are American citizens. And they have a heritage from an American family. They'll get an education should they choose to have it. They'll be able to get a good job. In Honduras or Guatemala, they would have never had a right to do anything. They would have just been out on the streets as babies. You know, hope that they could just scrap around and make a living. But somebody chose to adopt them. If y'all hadn't got that, something wrong with you. You and I didn't have no place to go, but our Father chose to adopt us into the family. And He didn't want us to be servants. For you that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have received the spirit of bondage, not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father. Ephesians 1:5. He hath chosen us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ in Himself, according to His good pleasure. Wow. All today, Jesus, the Father, He wants some sons and daughters. One more thing before I let you go. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Mark. A small child that is yours can be in a room of 5 or 6, 10, 12 other children. And your baby can cry. And you hear his voice. And you run to him because he's yours. Well, I got some good news for you. Jesus, when you cry because you're his, he hears your voice.
Amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Remember, just a few weeks ago, through tongues and interpretation, the Lord said, take your place as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, there's something that Dad does not know about why I borrowed his car. So I'll tell you now. See, I had a Corvette, had bucket seats, had a console right in between. He had a town car that had the seat all the way across. See, Jennifer could come right up there and be right there next to me. But I did leave it empty a few times too, so. Yeah, gas stations weren't open. That's the reason why, of course. No, so, but I just always knew that what he had, I could use. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we're so thankful that you've adopted us. We're so thankful that we are your children. We're so thankful that we have rights and privileges that go beyond just being a servant. We have rights and privileges that come with being an heir and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that we are seated in heavenly places with him. And we thank you that you have already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And Lord, we step into our place as children of the Most High God and receive all that you have for us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Take a few moments, hug somebody, bless them in the name of Jesus. Go out rejoicing in Jesus' name.